I didn't want to hijack their activity. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. The other day, I came down here for an organized hike. It was a group of people that came together to do a hike in this state park. I have returned today to talk to you about how that hike went and show you some interesting things. This is the Wilder Ranch State Park. I made two previous videos at this location, but the hike allowed me to discover some interesting things about this park, and I want to share that. During the last video that I made here, I speculated that the people on this hike would perhaps not want to participate in the making of a YouTube video. Not everybody wants to be on YouTube. When people arrived, we met each other and had opportunity to talk. As I talked to the people, sometimes the subject of my YouTube videos came up and other times I did not discuss it. We sat around together before the hike for about an hour to allow other people to arrive and to get to know each other. I got the distinct impression in talking to these folks that they were not interested in YouTube videos. They were there for a hike. They were interested in a hike. They were certainly very polite, sociable, friendly, but they were not focused on YouTube videos. So based on what I saw and what I heard, I chose to not try to make a video on that hike. I didn't want to hijack their activity. Hijack, what does that mean? Hijack is a term that's used in English to mean commandeer, to take over. It was the merger of two words, one highway, and the other slang word was jacking, which at the time meant robbery. So if someone was a highway jacker, then they would be a highway thief, a robber, a criminal. That was shortened into a single word, hijacker. A hijacker was a robber on the highway. The term hijacker got a big boost in the early 20th century because the United States created prohibition. The federal government passed an amendment to the Constitution that prohibited the making of, transporting of, sales of, or consumption of alcoholic beverages. They made the United States a dry country. When we call something a dry country or a dry state, that means no alcohol. For about 10 years, it was illegal to consume alcohol. Prohibition created some very strong unintended consequences. It allowed the development of organized crime. It fostered the development of an entire industry devoted to the making, transporting, and selling of alcohol illegally. It also gave us a lot of terms that we still use in the English language, although now we tend to use them figuratively. Hijacking, for instance, it could be used to describe taking over a vehicle, but in the 21st century, it would be more common for hijacking to refer to hijacking an event. For instance, if I had tried to make a video that interfered with the hike the other day, you could say that I was hijacking the event, the hike, for my own purposes. I didn't choose to do that. There are some other fun expressions that we still use in English that we got from that era of prohibition. The illegal distilled alcohol that was produced during that era was called moonshine, because it was produced at night to avoid detection by law enforcement. That illegal alcohol was also referred to as white lightning. The term bootlegger was created in the 19th century to describe transporting illegal alcohol in the top of one's boot. So when Prohibition came around, English already had a term, bootlegger, for someone who secretly transports alcohol illegally. And so these people involved in the illegal alcohol trade during Prohibition were often called bootleggers. The makers of the spirits were called moonshiners, and the people that transported the product were called rum runners. I think in the future I'll have to make a video about Prohibition and all the changes that were associated with that period of our history. Suffice it to say that I did not choose to hijack the event that people had come to attend the hike. So now I'm going to walk into the state park a little further and show you something I found that was really interesting. When we did our hike, we got into cars and drove up to the hilltop to the edge of the campus of the University of California, Santa Cruz. That's where we started our hike, about 6 miles from here. That way we could hike downhill. The beginning of the hike was just in the woods and in fields like this. It was flat ground with a very gentle slope, and it was easy. There was a lot of shade along the way. After we had walked about half the distance, we got to a bluff. That is a hill that overlooked the water from high ground. And this is a picture of what we saw from that bluff. This is a photograph I took from that vantage point. From this bluff, we walked down to the lower level and into this area. I've walked a little further on. We're now in the Wilder Ranch display. These buildings are the homestead for the Wilder Ranch, including the barns and the equipment that was used for the dairy operation. This was a dairy ranch. This was where our hike ended, and then we proceeded from here to the parking lot to retrieve our cars. Behind me is the path that we came down from the hill. Behind me, you can see a bunch of fruit trees. They're in bloom. You can see a lot of blossoms on the trees. These trees appear to be cherry trees. That's what they look like to me because of the clusters of blossom. I walked to this location today because I saw this from our hike, but we did not come here and take a close look. I wanted to come back and take a closer look at this structure. It's interesting. It's an old farmhouse. It's an old structure from many years ago. You can see the stone fireplace and the structure of the building. This building has not been maintained. It is being allowed to deteriorate over time. Interestingly enough, it's not locked up. Apparently, the structure is strong enough that we can go inside. So now I'm in this building that presumably was someone's home in a bygone era. I interpret this as a kitchen area because there's a sink with water. This room is presumably the old living room because look behind me is the hearth of the fireplace. That is the fireplace that was used many decades ago. There's another building here behind the one I just walked through, and you can see that it is collapsing. It's falling apart. You can see that originally it had shingles, and then later they put this corrugated metal over top of the shingles as a new roof. As the shingles deteriorated, they would leak, and so the owners back then simply added another layer of roofing over top. This time it was corrugated metal, probably steel. I don't know what this building was. I assume it was some sort of barn. And now it's collapsing. I think it's fascinating to know that someone used this fireplace to provide heat in this home when it was inhabited. Here, something is missing. Right here would have been the mantelpiece. It would have been a wooden platform, but it's gone. The mantelpiece is now gone. Just the stones and the bricks remain. It appears that I'm not the only one who has come here to explore. These plants have been trampled by visitors. Walking in these high plants, I have to be aware of the possibility of getting ticks. A tick is a small creature. Ticks are arthropods. As I recall, they are also arachnids, related more to spiders than to insects. Ticks attach to other animals and suck blood to get nutrients. Unfortunately for us, there is a species of tick here in Northern California that is a vector, that is, it carries a germ that can give us a disease. The disease is called Lyme disease. Lyme disease is caused by a germ, and the germ is carried by ticks and transmitted to people by ticks. So anyone who comes to a place like this, where there is tall grass and vegetation, this time of year is very wise to check themselves when they get home to make sure that they didn't pick up a tick, because they don't want to get Lyme disease. I'm standing in fairly high vegetation behind this ruin of an old farmhouse and barn. Behind me is the path we walked down. We came down from that bluff to this location and then turned right to go to the old dairy farm. You can see the path that we took on this long hike was very nice. It was wide and smooth. It sloped gently downward, but there were very few places that it was steep. There were also very few places we had to go uphill. There were a couple of times the path went down and then actually came up to a higher level and then down again. Mostly it was downhill. Right up this path, something interesting happened, and it told me a lot about the people on the hike. One of the participants in the hike got a little overheated and a little bit dehydrated, perhaps, developing some symptoms. She didn't feel very good. What I observed is that the group was very caring, very supportive. The lady expressed that she was embarrassed, but quickly people reassured her that there was nothing to be embarrassed about. And then they, as a group, gave her advice on what to do to get rid of the symptoms. They recommended getting her into the shade. They sat her down. One of the hikers took her heavy backpack so that she wouldn't have to carry that. They cooled her down and gradually gave her drinking water. They helped her recover from her symptoms. And then two of the fellows on the hike took her by the elbow, by the arm, and walked her the rest of the way down. We didn't have to summon a rescue vehicle, she was able to recover and finish the hike. She got to the parking lot under her own power. But I was very impressed with the behavior of the group. They were supportive, positive, helpful, and knowledgeable about what to do in the case of being overheated and a little dehydrated on a hike. This is the view we had on our hike as we came through this area. This is where we saw that dilapidated house, the collapsed barn. And then these areas here in the foreground could be described as a corral or a pasture. These pastures would be for holding farm animals. But the fences are no longer in good repair, and this is no longer a working farm. But this is what we saw at the end of our hike. As you listen to this story, you can probably determine why we did not explore this old farmhouse. There's a very clear reason we didn't do it. We didn't do it because at this phase, at the end of our walk, we were tired. We wanted to get off our feet because we had walked 5.7 miles. And we were more interested in the welfare, the well-being of our fellow hiker who had developed some symptoms and was under some distress. So by the time we got to this location, our purpose was to make sure we got her safely back to the car. So none of us explored this old farmhouse. We did successfully get all of us safely back to the parking lot, to our cars. And then I took this opportunity 2 days later to come back here and take a look at something I had wanted to see, but couldn't do at the time because it would have been inappropriate. It looks like this park has a lot of trails available for use by bicyclists. I'll have to find an opportunity to bring the bicycle out here and explore some of these trails. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon!